All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
What we want to do is to charge our spirits. I pray that Christians understand spiritual things. If they do, they will behave differently in life. Next time they see a man who they say is in occult, they will not be impressed. Yes, if anything, they will feel sorry for the person. Because actually we have the most powerful spiritual principles and power on our side. Just that we don't know how to use them. That's often our problem, all right? But this one thing we do, put the word of God, put the declaration derived from the word on our lips, and we'll declare God's word. When we do that, we ignite something in the realm of the spirit. Now, for the purpose of this weekend, of course, I'm calling the weekend already, today just Tuesday. We have a long week, okay? We're going to be studying the word of God. So let's trigger our spirit so that we can understand what we are going to be learning, all right? Are we ready?
Yes,
I said, are we ready?
Yes.
Now, if you look, there's a declaration there. When we want to start to study, just quickly note it for those who are seeing the paper for the first time. Want to let us go? Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
This week, understanding will fill you in a greater measure than ever before in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will show you what to know and what to do in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fruitfulness is your portion. And it will manifest in a greater measure than ever before, beginning from this week.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Please, greet somebody on your left and your right again as you are taking your seats. You're all very welcome. I'm very happy to see you. And I believe that you are going to be blessed this week. What we want to do is to teach the laws of fruitfulness. And I want to just explain, let me start by explaining a particular principle. Now, what I want to do, all right, is to help the people of God understand how Christians get their own results in life. You know, one thing I notice, please quickly go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start from Genesis chapter 1. I want to explain a principle here. This is not part of the what we are talking about now, but I just need to use this to introduce the principle behind what we are doing. It's something we know very well, the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to start from verse 1. Let's just start from verse 1. I'm reading about 3 verses. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Please notice verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. I'm reading 5 verses, sorry. God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was one day. Now, I want to just bring out something here. That's from verse 4. The Bible says that God separated the light from the darkness. I used to think that once light comes, darkness vanishes. But I have found out that darkness does not always vanish when light comes. We used to think that darkness was the absence of light. But it's not so. We found that even science has found out there's what they call dark matter. If you know advanced physics, all right? Darkness is a substance in itself. That's why Paul said, what fellowship has light with darkness? Come out from amongst them and be separate. What was he saying? It is present for light to exist and darkness to stand right beside it and mingle with it. I want you to understand that principle. Two of them to be together, all right? But it is not right. It is not right. When people want to behave like God, the first thing they do when they have light is that light comes into their heart. Very important. And then that light does two things to them. For them. One, it gives them light. Two, it exposes darkness. That it lets them know what is not light in their lives. So what they now do is to act upon what light has brought. They now separate that light from the darkness. For example, you will learn the principles of success. The knowledge of the principles of success for a believer does not remove the principles of success from the world from your heart. You will know two of them, and you have the choice to operate both of them side by side. But as a Christian, a diligent believer, you will now get up and say, this is light. This one is darkness. you will now separate your light from your darkness. That is, you will make up your mind, I am going to do my business like this, I will not do it this way. Many things that people do that they call wisdom, the Bible calls them worldliness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So sometimes people have both of them acting in their lives. And you'll see the effect in a moment. So, but let me just first emphasize, you have a duty to separate light from darkness. You cannot operate the two. You have the right, it's your life, to operate the two. But you will not get the results of God if you are trying to operate the two. If God had left the darkness with the light, he would not have been able to do the things he did the next day. It's very important. Because what happens to people is this, and I'm going to explain that briefly. You see, Paul, when he was writing, he said, what fellowship has light with darkness? That do not be unequally yoked, all right, with an unbeliever. That is, as a believer, you have things you do that's right in the sight of God. Don't mix it with what the world does that is not right in the sight of God. It's very important we get that principle. The two things must not be mixed. What is the effect if they are mixed? You see, if you go to Mark chapter 4, you read Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus taught the parable of the sower there. You will notice something. First, there were about three groups of people. The first one, there were about four groups, but let's start with the first one. The first one, there were those who heard the word. They didn't understand what anybody was talking about. So that word did not bless them at all. As soon as they heard the word, something was taken off from them. That is the word that entered. Because it did not sink into their hearts, they lost it instantly. They come to a church, they come to a Bible study like this, they come to a teaching meeting. You say everything you want to say. While you are talking, they are not even listening. Even if they are listening, they are looking to something else, all right, that is distracting them from the main thing that you are saying. So as soon as they go back home, what did that pastor preach? They have no idea. That's the first group. The second group, the Bible says that it springs up quickly. Jesus was speaking. And then when it sprang up like that, it was because they did not have depth of earth. They were excited. They remembered everything when they got home. But when it came to acting upon the word, persecution instantly came. They went to do business. Somebody said, give a bribe. I'm not going to give a bribe. I've heard the word. That he doesn't get a job. Are you getting my point? It goes broke. You see? Persecution by reason of the word. So after some time, it withers because there's no depth inside it. That's the second group. The third group is the one I want to talk about. The third group, they heard the word. They understood it. It entered their heart. It had depth. They were not like the shallow people that did not have any depth at all. It had depth. And then it began to spring. It began to produce. Now, this is where the problem is. When it was time to produce, open to that Mark chapter 4. I want us to read it. You will see verse 7. He said, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now, please bear that one in mind. Let's not go to the interpretation. Just go further down. Now, verse 18. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Now, I'm just going to supply some gaps that are missing. They heard the word. There was depth in their heart. It was not planted in shallow places or rocky places. So the thing sank down. Now let's continue reading from verse 19. It said, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Let's stop here. Now why did I read this? I want to bring out a principle. You notice something here. The soil was good. The hearts could understand. But why did the word become unfruitful in their lives? It is because something else was planted. It was the other thing that was planted. When that one also grew up, that it choked the effect of the word. Now, we're not looking at this parable of the sower. I'm looking at light and darkness. That was why Jesus took time out to separate the light from the darkness. And why we are commanded to do the same. The light in you will get results. It will begin to produce. But if there's darkness planted there, darkness also will rear its head. Do you get my point? And then it will choke the word so it cannot get its result. It will choke the effect. Because you see, what's happening here is that the word promised something. A man believes it, begins to act on it. He stood against all the troubles and the trials and the persecutions. But something else was planted. Are you getting my point? Sometimes you see, look at maybe like they do in some of these countries, these advanced countries, they are doing elections. A man has everything, all right, to contest for a particular office. He's a presidential candidate for Republican Party, Democratic Party, and all of that, and he's advancing and he's moving forward. Why is he moving forward? He has the speech in his mouth. He has the ability. He has the recommendations. He has the connections. He has everything. That's an example. But let us assume somewhere along the line, they find out that he evaded tax 10 years ago and he has not paid till today. The word was producing, but he loses right there. Every other thing was working. But that darkness came out and choked it. And that's just an example. It's very important for us Christians to understand what God is saying. And once we have understood it, we separate our light from our darkness. Listen, that's what we're trying to do. To focus on the light of God so that it can produce in our lives. I am sure of one thing. Are you getting my point? That most people have not yet experienced God producing in their lives. They haven't. And why have they not experienced it? Many reasons. One of them is that we have not yet fully committed enough to God's word to see what it can produce. Most times, what the Lord wants to do is choked. It's choked by many other things that, because these are spiritual principles, I wanted to say, these are spiritual principles. Many other things are planted in the hearts of people. They get some results. Like I said, let's even get down to the people that got 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, I assume some got 10 fold. I assume some got 20. I assume some got 70 fold, right? I believe every gap in between was filled. But the question is that, why was there a difference? Why didn't everybody come up with the 100 fold? Before I even talk about that why, let's remember something. Many people we celebrate in life got only tenfold. But like you say, in the country of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So for that reason, many of us follow people that got tenfold. But we never knew what their lives would have been if they managed to get 50-fold or 70-fold. Now imagine 100-fold. I'll give an example. Jesus said, those who believe in me, greater works than this they will do. How many people have you seen do greater works? People have used all kinds of methods to explain why we're not doing greater works. Say, Jesus did not actually mean that anybody will do more than that. It means that we are more in number, so when we put all the works that all of them, he didn't say all of them that believed in me combined will do more than I did. He said, he that believes in me. He was talking to one person. Why don't you see much? Okay, let's even forget greater works. Let's even come near works. Are you getting my point? You know, before you start talking about greater, at least let us see the one that he did. Let's even see the one that he did. Before we start arguing, well, can we do greater? Can we do as, you know, or more? Okay, let's even come close. Why have we not been seeing it? Is it simply because God has gotten tired of working miracles? No, I think it's because as a body, we are not following him hard enough. We have mixed too much darkness with the light of Christ. Listen, what do I want to do this particular week? I want to help Christians to see the light of Christ and how to separate and to go ahead to separate that light from darkness. Darkness does not always mean evil. In fact, I like one thing Rabbi Zachariah said. I was listening to him yesterday, and he said that wickedness is to run your life from a standpoint of a lie. What is a lie? To think you can define good and evil apart from God. It doesn't mean you get up and start killing people all around. It just means that you get up, you decide what is right, you decide what is wrong. I'm talking about darkness. Many of the things people do, they call business, is darkness. Many of the things people do, they call how to advance your career, is darkness. Many of the things we do in how to prepare for the future is darkness. I always give us an example to shake Christians up. As Jesus said, do not lay up treasure on the earth. But most churches teach how to invest for your future on the earth. The very thing Jesus said, don't do. He said, a man has to prepare for the future. That's not a lie. But Jesus said, don't do it on the earth. Whatever you want to do, he said, lay it up where? In heaven. He told the disciples, don't be afraid. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. I was teaching the giving matter, you know. I realized that most of the way Christians have been taught to give is they give in a very funny way. They give, the Bible says, God grants seed to the sower and bread for food. And the other things are stated in scripture is very important. It's always seed for the sower and bread for food. But the way Christians are taught is like you do bread for food and seed from the remnant. That's general human attitude. It is like the one I don't need is what I give from. That's one way Christians give. Then secondly, they generally have this giving as an insurance policy. Two things that are ungodly. Believe me, there's darkness. What do you mean by giving as an insurance policy? Give so that God will remember us tomorrow. That's darkness. Many of the things we operate as believers. So we can't, truly, we don't enjoy enough of a supernatural supply. We don't. Why? Because we have wrong thoughts in our hearts. And if the wrong things are inside our hearts, believe me, that's the kind of result. Those things are darkness. They choke the word. So when you say that, look, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient. God said that is the word of God. It should produce. Then when that word wants to produce, other things come in and do what? And choke the word. One day, brother, one way in school, tell me about the power of wrong doctrines. He told me something. He said that once, he went to go and pray. He lost some, I think he needed money. Or he lost something. I can't remember exactly what. But there was some need in his life anyway. He now began to pray. And then he began to pray. And he was claiming that God will supply and rebuke the devourer. Because he has been a faithful tither. I was looking at him. Okay. He was my senior in school. He said, then he remembered I did not pay his tithe last month. He said, I had to start pleading on mercy. I said, bro, why didn't you just start with mercy? That way you don't have to remember anything. Can you see? He was approaching, thinking in faith, then suddenly something wrong grew up and chucked the word. Listen, I am convinced of that. I pray, we have not yet understood what it means for God to supernaturally supply our needs. No. We have experienced very little of it. And what is the reason? It's not because we did not hear the word that is the doctrine concerning God being the provider. But when that word wants to produce, many times, other things that have been sown in our hearts come up, choke the word. Depending on the extent of the choking, sometimes we're able to get fivefold, tenfold, fifteenfold. I doubt whether most of us ever experience 20-fold. But believe me, 20-fold is such a miracle that we'll go around celebrating it. The Lord is good. So what I'm trying to do, let's get it right. The laws of fruitfulness. We are dealing with spiritual laws. So like I said, what we need to do is what? To get it right. To fill our hearts with the word of God. That's the next point I will make. Then we're going to read that scripture. This is how grace works in the lives of Christians. Or how grace works in life. And Christians are supposed to walk by grace. Grace is that you imbibe the word of God. Walk by the word of God. And then the results come into your life automatically. By themselves. Let me tell you what grace does. Grace does not allow you plan your future. I will explain a few things. Grace doesn't allow you. Grace gives you a job for today and say, be doing that one. Occupy until I come. Now what grace does is to open doors and then you will find that God has opened the door for you. You walk through it. Read through the scriptures. People who prospered with God, who succeeded, did not get what they planned for. Go and check it. Now, the Bible tells us these things were recorded for our learning. They are not jokes. I always use Joseph, David, Daniel, people like that as examples. How did Joseph become what he became? He dreamt a dream, but there was no way of acting on that dream. There was no way of acting on it. What he did was to continually act on the principles of righteousness that he understood. Now, the plan of God in his life worked itself out. What he just used to do is to place Joseph in certain places at certain times. For example, he was in his father's house. He didn't plan to be in his father's house. He was born, he woke up one day, became alive and awake, became aware, and he realized that he was the son of Jacob. His father trained him. Along the line, one day, he went out on an innocent assignment. He ended up in a pit. Nobody asked him, do you want to be sold into slavery? Or do you want to be murdered? Which one? Choose one. Do you want to go back home? Or we kill you? Or we sell you into slavery? They didn't ask him. They just sold him to the Ishmaelites, who sold him to an Egyptian, who made him a slave in his household. But the spirit, I'm going to talk about that in subsequent days, the spirit inside Joseph rose up in the house of Potiphar and he excelled so much that he became the best worker in the house of Potiphar. Now, he thought he was settled, comfortable, happy. Maybe one day his master will get him a wife. Maybe. I don't know what he was thinking of. But I know his mind was thinking of one day his master will love him so much, he will ask his story. Where did you come from? He will not tell the story of my father, who's, I know he's looking for me right now. And then he was hoping that one day they would let him go back home. While he was about to get to that level of trust in which Potiphar and him could now talk, as he was getting close to Potiphar, he was also getting close to Mrs. Potiphar. You know the rest of the story. Let me not bore you with it. They accused him wrongly. He ended up in prison. The devastation, you can imagine it. He thought that, I was just close to going back home. And yes, the Lord saw it. That's why the Lord pushed him farther away. Then the whole thing started again. Please, these stories are real. They are real stories. In prison, you know the rest of the story. From prison, he went to the place where he never planned to be. The distance between Potiphar's house and the palace was shorter than the one between the prison and the palace. Are you getting my point here? It is not how close you are to Abuja that makes you an important person in federal government. There are people who are relocating to Abuja because they want to be close to the seat of power. You are getting my point here. Joseph was farther away from the seat of power in prison. Don't forget, Potiphar was an important man in Egypt. But we know the story. I don't need to tell us again. While he was in prison, events were arranged that the Bible said the king sent for him and loosed him. Even the rulers of the people. Listen, God knows where to locate people when their time comes. All this one they teach you in business school, strategic position is a lie. Forget all this strategic positioning. Positioning to who? Do you know who's carrying you to where you're supposed to get to? Believe me, you do not yet have an imagination of what God wants to do in your life. Listen, you know, I don't like anybody that comes and tells me testimony of how he plotted his life, plotted his future, plotted his ministry, plotted everything, and it turned out the way he planned it. I know he's not blessed. I won't follow him. I know you are not blessed. I'm not going to follow you. What I need to hear in your story is when things did not go the way you planned for them to go. What I need to hear in your story is the time you made a plan and it failed. What I need to hear in your story is how you woke up one day and things began that you did not plan. That's how I know God is working in your life. That's how I know God is working in your life. Grace is what God expects Christians to walk by. And grace is when you have the right, now this for Christian, that's how Christians are supposed to be. Grace is when you have the right doctrines in your heart. Now, I'm not talking about accuracy of, is the Greek word here logos or rhema? Is it kairos or chronos? That's not what I'm talking about by accuracy of doctrine. When I'm talking about accuracy of doctrine, I'm talking about you understand from whence comes my help. That's what I mean. When I'm talking about accuracy of doctrine, I mean that you have the wrong thoughts. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Accuracy of doctrine means you think the way God does. That is, you come out from that low level and come to a high level where the thoughts of God are your thoughts. What is grace? Let me give you a few examples. I'm going to use two things now. Maybe marriage, wealth. Let me just try and define them. When I'm talking about accuracy of doctrine, okay, I'll give an example. Once I went to preach somewhere, I've used this example a number of times, but it's so perfect, I have to repeat it. As how many people believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? And almost everybody in the church put up their hands. This was many years ago. I said, let me say it again. How many people believe that the governor of Enugu State is enjoying? Almost all the hands in the church went up. I said, all right, good. How many people want to become governors so they can also enjoy? Almost all those hands went up. Again, I repeated my question. How many people want to be governors so that they also can enjoy? And the hands went up again. So I said to them simply, this is the very reason why you will never be a governor. What am I going to say?
Jesus said, the princes of this world, you know, lord it over their subjects. He said, but you, it must not be like that with you. When I'm talking about accuracy of doctrine, that's what I mean. What is the purpose of being a governor? Why is God making me a ruler? Jesus said, the greatest amongst you must end up or start being the most serving one, the servant of all. So you understand that you are a governor, so you can serve. Are you getting my point here? Understanding, that's what I mean by accuracy of doctrine. What grace does is to help you understand that and then keep you in prison until you are needed as a governor. That is, you don't have to be a deputy governor. You don't have to be a commissioner. You don't have to be a special advisor. You don't have to be a senator before you become a governor. You can be teaching in a secondary school, and from there, God lifts you to becoming a governor. What he's looking for is a heart that understands his thoughts. So what grace does is to pack the thoughts of God into your heart so that when you are needed, you are ready. Please, I hope you are getting these thoughts. It is not, look, Potiphar's house was closer to Pharaoh. Prison was much farther away. But this man got to Pharaoh's palace quicker from prison than he would have gotten from Potiphar's house. Later I'll talk about it. In this life, no, let me just say something. You must learn to practice righteousness. Before I say what I want to say, all right, let me just say this. You must learn to practice godliness with contentment. What do I call godliness with contentment? In life, learn to do things because they are supposed to be done. Learn to do things well because well is good. Are you getting my point? Learn to do things with excellence. Now, what annoys me a lot, many of the things we human beings practice and Christians have learned, which is darkness polluting their light, is this issue of doing things for the purpose of what they are going to get. I needed to say that before I make certain statements. Because sometimes people say, look, you need to be excellent. Why? I will put excellence what I'm doing. Very soon, men will start looking for me. Once you put it like that, you know what happens? You will be so excellent, nobody will look for you. That's what God does. You know, he says, my children, be perfect as people will love you if you are perfect and they will look for you. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? I don't know the Bible. Okay, what does he say? As your heavenly Father is. Your motivation for whatever you are doing must be, I want to be like my Father. It's not, I'm going to get something for it. That's why I keep on saying, no, I hammer it all the time because I hear the opposite all the time. That's why you don't give because you want to get. You give because you are like your heavenly Father. You give because your heavenly Father is like that. When he sees the needy, he helps. People say God gave his son and he got many sons back. We know that's called the law of sowing and reaping. But let's now look at the purpose, the reason why, the spirit behind what he did. For God so loved that he what? Gave. Why did he give? He loved. It's not, no one would like to practice. For God so needed that he gave. We say, no, God gave and he got. Yes, that's true. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. But don't forget, it only works with certain things in place. The Bible says, for God so loved. If he so needed and he gave, he would have gotten nothing. Because that law would have been spoilt by the spirit of darkness. You have to separate light from what? From darkness. Many times people mix the two. Sowing and reaping is good. It's light. But sowing for the wrong purpose is darkness. It does not produce. Christians must learn to do what is right because the right thing is right. I hope you are getting my point here. Remember, I said I wanted to say before I go back to what I say. So when Joseph is in prison, he must put excellence into what he's doing. I need to explain this first so that people will not say, okay, I've put excellence now for 5 years. God, when are you going to remember me? Once you pray like that, you are a sinner. Because your excellence is not a godly type. Your excellence has ulterior motives. Has something hidden inside. You are getting my point here? No, listen, Christians, we have to separate light from darkness. There's too much darkness in the light we are operating. Excellence is good, yes. If you're excellent, the day you are needed, you will be collected from there. That is true. But if you start putting excellence to what you are doing, waiting for the day you will be collected, you have spoiled it. You have put darkness into it. Let us assume you have a call of God upon your life and you're a student in university. You are studying engineering and the angel of God appeared to you and said, oh boy, once you finish from school, you are going to become a missionary. That tells you you are not going to look for a job with your engineering, right? Now, this is how people who do understand God behave. Go to class, say, what am I going to class for? Let me just graduate from here. We know we are going to the mission field. Hallelujah. They say, read now. He said, these are things of the world. Souls are perishing. You are reading. You are getting the principle. That is called darkness. Because he thought that being an excellent engineering student is so that I can get a job in Shell. Now the angel has said to him, you will never work in Shell. So he dumped the principle of excellence. Why? I don't need a job anymore. But that is darkness. If an angel comes to him at 8 o'clock, you tell the angel, hurry with your assignment, I have a lecture. Did you hear what I said? That's godliness. Angel comes 8 and you have a lecture by 8:15 or 8:30. When angel is talking, you say, angel, sorry, excuse me. Is it going to be long? Why? I have a lecture by 8:30. You will go further in life like that. The angel will say, okay, I'll be quick. Why? Because you are a student and you excellence is a character of God. It's not about whether you need a job or you don't need a job. So the angel said that thou shalt be an evangelist. You shall go to the jungles. Then you shall show the power of God in those places. Am I withdrawing from school today? The angel says, no. He said, fine. I've written it down. Tell the Lord ahead. Be it unto me according to thy word. Am I supposed to graduate? The angel said, yeah. The Lord said, it will happen after your NYC. Okay, no problem. You put the revelation inside your pocket and go to class. And read as if you must be the best engineer that the world ever saw. You are aware that you are not going to ever look for a job with it. You know where you are going. But if the Lord did not allow you to leave that engineering position, what they call it, faculty, as a student, then you will continue to perform as if you need it for a job. It's called godliness with contentment. Contentment means I'm not doing what I'm doing because of what I'm going to get for it. I'm doing it because it is the right thing to do. That's why I always tell, I always drop this giving thing in. People say, when you sow your seed, you start watching out for the harvest. You don't know what you're saying. Sow your seed because it's the right thing to do. And go about your business. Please, I hope you're following my point here. Many times we operate what is right as principles, but we inject a little bit of darkness into it. Back to the main thing I was trying to say. So, God says to Joseph, into prison. Joseph stays there and puts excellence in. These things were recorded for our learning. Did he ever imagine that one day Pharaoh would need him? We know what was inside his mind. Because the day that the cupbearer, all right, came and he interpreted the man, he told that you are going to be restored back to your position. Pharaoh will find out that it's a wrong accusation. They will release you from EFCC prison. They will know you did not take part of the 2 something billion dollars that was missing. They will know. And I said, the day that happens, please, sir, remember me. My father is still looking for me. Help me to get out of here. The man never thought he would be needed by Pharaoh. I always like to add this one too. After that man left, an angel came and removed the memory of Joseph from his head. When men forget, you don't blame them. You don't know who took the memory. You don't know who took it. After everything I did for that, my uncle, nobody would have believed I would be wedding and he won't be there. After everything I did for that man, I would not have believed that he's now a minister. He can't even help me get a job. That's worldly thinking. What did I call it? We have the spirit of Joseph. If a man forgets, you say that he was not meant to remember me. That's how you won't be angry with people. All these people going around. have a relative like that. His assignment every day to sit down and be counting the people that offended him. And when you find the offense, you'll be surprised. The offense is not like, that man took my money, didn't bring it back. The offense is not like, that man stayed in my house for a whole year, didn't pay rent, he packed away. No, his offense is that, leave that man, he's supposed to be my brother. Till now, never seen him send me any money. That's his offense. So. He said, okay, Muti, I'm waiting for him. He said, bros, what till Okemute do you? Okay, Muti. The guy just a chop all alone. He never sent me anything all these days. And you're like, that is your friend and you're waiting for him? Have you sent him anything? Listen, let's be like Joseph. Somebody forgets you. Just laugh over it. That depends. Now, so they forget Joseph. And I keep on saying, your own statement must be with light, not with darkness. Not what do I mean by darkness? You are saying it because you are hoping that she is a minister. One day you will remember me. When God says you remember me. God, though, she has been 2 years now. Nobody 2 years, Joseph do. There are many people that our governor, His Excellency, Ifeanyi Ugwuanyi, right? Mm-hmm. He became governor. The man is your uncle. When the man became governor, they said, come for interview in Kaduna. He did not go. Come for interview in Lagos. He did not go. Come for interview in Port Harcourt. He did not go. Come for interview in Benin. He did not go. He said, why? I didn't have money for transport. It's a lie. The man said, I will be here until my uncle remembers me. Guru Guru has been in office now for how long? Second year has entered, Abi. And he hasn't remembered you. Hear ye the word of the Lord. He will need 9 years to remember you. I know the meaning of 9 years. It's when he leaves office that there's no entourage again. He's going on the road. Emeka, how now? You'll be wondering and say, Uncle, I'm fine. 8 years of your life stand still because he became governor. Believe me, go for your interview. The man is not planning to remember you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now what are we trying to say, do? Grace does what? It corrects our wrong doctrines. Gives us right thoughts. Accurate thoughts of God. Grace says, listen, this is wealth. I want to see how powerful I will be. That's worldliness. Grace says, what is wealth for you? Wealth is the ability to do good. Wealth is the ability to affect the environment. Wealth is the ability to have power to execute godliness. I hope you are getting my point here. If God wants to produce a breed of workers, sometimes he gives a man power to set up a big company so that he can enforce righteousness in his company. He said, if people learn this, they will go out and multiply it in the land. That's wealth for the believer. Wealth is not counted for the believer as number of cars, number of houses, how many times I fly. Oh, there's party this weekend. We're in London. Let's go. That's not wealth. That's stupidity. Yeah, many people, that's what they do with money. Say, where is it happening? Say, man, I heard that Amaka is wedding. Where? In LA. When? Saturday. The guy checks. Wow. We should be able to reach there now. Why? We have the money. On Friday afternoon, he closes office, rushes to the airport, rushes to LA to surprise Amaka. Hey, I came for your wedding. What? You came? Oh, Ambrose, I always knew you were a nice guy. You are not nice, you don't get sense. Some people, they think that's what wealth is. To be junketing around the world. That's not what wealth is. Let me tell you what wealth is. Wealth is ability to pay better salaries than people around you. Wealth is the ability to tell a young man, a young woman who just got admission to university, that don't worry, I can give you a job that you just need to work 10 hours a week and you will earn enough money. You won't need to beg throughout your stay in school. That's wealth. Wealth is, you see some young men, do you know how to code? You know how to use computers well? Don't worry. I know your father is not rich. Take the admission. You will work for me part-time. I don't need you more than a few hours a week. But I will pay you enough money to stay comfortably through school. That's what wealth is. Many times we know what to do, we don't have the ability to do it. Many times you want to help people, you don't have the power to help them. Wealth is the power to help. Can you see? When God packs these definitions inside our heads, it becomes a part of us. Even if we're in prison, he knows when to send for us. That's what grace is. I'm trying to explain how grace works. As I was going to give a number of examples, let's take marriage as an example. What's a husband? What is a wife? Many people say, I'm looking for a wife. God says, you're not looking for a wife. What you are looking for has no name. Should I prove to you that a man is not looking for a wife? According to God's definition. You've watched the home movies. My best example is always Kanayo, oh Kanayo. I saw a film like that actually once. He made a lot of money, built one massive house in Abuja in that movie, and brought his mother from the village to come and see it. And he took the mother around to show the water system that he had reticulated all over the house, showed everything, the beautiful house. And the mother said, one thing is still missing in this house. He said, what else? The television is there. The jacuzzi is there. Standby generator is there. Nothing is missing. No, one thing is still missing. The cars are there. Mommy, if you want to go out, just call the driver. The mother said, one thing is still missing in this house. What is it, Mama? You need a woman in this house. That's not your wife. That's a piece of furniture. You get my point? You already have your painting. You have everything. So let me use her to decorate. That's why many men are waiting to hammer before they marry. God says, you're not looking for a wife. That's why your prayer and mine, your prayer and my answer, they don't collide. So I give wives to those who need help, not those who have proven that they don't need it. He said, when I gave it to Adam, it was because the work was plenty. Not when Adam had made it, everything was settled. And I said, Adam, are you enjoying the garden? He said, it's kind of lonely. It's kind of lonely. I tried to ride the donkey around. After some time, I got bored. The lion plays rough play. I don't like him. So what's that on your back? I was playing with the tiger. Now he scratched me like that. I said, Lord, I don't know. It's kind of lonely. When I come home in the evening, I just need some company. No, that's not why when God gave him Eve. God gave him Eve because there was work to do. There were things to do. There were things he could not accomplish except Eve was in his life. Definitions, very important. If you get, that's what I mean by thoughts. If you get the thoughts right, life is spiritual. I keep on saying, life is spiritual. When we get the thoughts right, God's power is released to bring the effect into our lives. Look, life is spiritual. Most of the things we experience is a result of iniquity. And iniquity is not just I committed a sin, it's I think wrongly. So when we're walking in iniquity, we keep on struggling against things. When people disobey God, the earth does not yield increase to them. It starts bearing thorns and thistles. They start eating from the sweat of their brow. And many people sweat. They sweat and sweat, and they are successful in sweating. Then they write a book, How to Sweat and Be Successful. And Christians will queue up and buy it and do seminars around people who are walking and tilling the earth under a curse. That's when you hear to wake up very early. Any man that wants to be successful should not be sleeping. Who said so? The Bible says it's vain to rise up early and go to bed late. There are people who operate by grace. There are things that will come into their lives only when they are asleep. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, what are we trying to do in this seminar? To get the thoughts of Christians right. That's why I called it the laws of fruitfulness. What I'm talking about today as introduction is the law of grace. The law of grace. Or the law of faith. I thought of different words to use for it, but I mean, we're getting the point. Okay, let's use the expression the law of faith and grace. Yeah, that is good. Because he said it must be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Faith means that what is producing in our life is the word of God, not our strength, not our effort. Faith means that, look, it is not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Please, this is where I want to lay my foundation from. This is just introducing what the seminar is. Let's now get into today's message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this is the foundation for fruitfulness in life. Lack of fruitfulness is a curse. What did I say? It's a curse. Cursed is the earth because of you, God said to Adam at the beginning. We know that story. What does that tell you? When people sin, they start walking and working under a curse. I just want to read that scripture out. Genesis chapter 3, don't open to it, I'll just read it out. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Let me stop here. I just read this to let you know that when Adam sinned, a curse was placed upon him. Lack of fruitfulness is a curse. Before I read further, I want to say something. We have an assignment. What is the assignment? It's one doctrine that I am the only person I've heard preach it, but I know I'm not the only person that knows it. I know many people are preaching. I will soon encounter somebody else that's preaching it.